Afan, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks very much for joining us here on The Daily this morning.
My pleasure.
So let's start out with just the basics. What does Sharia mean? What does Sharia law entail?
Now look, in the general perception, which is held by some Muslims, but mostly also in the Australian society, it is often translated as law. And I don't think it is a correct translation because it does include law, but Sharia as a term is technically, it means basically path or way, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Which includes law, but it is not exhausted by law. It also reflects a particular kind of ethos of that culture. Law is part of that, but to reduce it squarely to law is, in my view, very incorrect. Okay, now if it is an ethos, then it also means the idea of justice, compassion, and Sharia in that sense is a path to knowing the God, and this is not something an immutable path. There are different people who have understood it differently, okay, over the ages as well as at the same time in different societies, and that is why you have inbuilt also multiple understanding, okay? So that is the first thing to be clear about the meaning of Sharia.
Where does it actually originate? Where does Sharia law actually originate?
Well, the codification, of course, it happened much after the death of the Prophet Muhammad. So you had different people, they might be called as jurists. And recognizably, you have, you know, four schools of thought, and they began to codify it. So this is the codification itself took place some 78 years after the Prophet's death. But it is not something finished once and for all. It is a continuous ongoing process, because the whole idea is that if it is a path to God, and that path is mediated by the idea of justice and compassion and love, okay? So it cannot be fixed and eternal. It is to be continuously interpreted by successive generation of Muslim thinkers and philosophers. And that way it is not a pond, but it is a flowing river.
I have heard it compared, though, to, say, the Ten Commandments of the Christian faith or Halakha of the Jewish faith, which sort of sets down some rules on which to follow along their own personal paths of religious enlightenment. Are there any of these kind of rules in Sharia that you think, you know, come into conflict with any Western sensibilities or Australian law?
I mean, many people would think that, and I guess the conversation that you refer to between Yasmin Abdul-Majid and Jackie Lambie.
Mm-hmm.
So Jackie Lambie's position is that actually there is a fundamental contradiction between Sharia and Australian law. But I think that is the wrong way to see it. To begin with, I don't think Jackie Lambie probably knows what actually Sharia is. She has that orientalized notion of what Sharia is, which is to say that it is simply a set of laws which are fixed, immutable, and probably she has in mind, like, you know, cutting the hands of thief and so on and so forth, okay? Which actually is not Sharia per se, because you yourself refer to Halakha and certain Christian law.
Mm-hmm.
Look, cutting off the hands of thief is not the goal of Sharia. The goal of Sharia, and in Arabic, there is a term for this which is known as Maqasid al-Sharia, which technically means the aims of the Sharia. So the aim of the Sharia is not to cut the hands of the thief, but to discourage theft and create a society which is just. Okay? Now, at one point of time, these jurists who understood and interpreted the Sharia, they thought that by cutting the hands of thief, you can discourage or minimize theft. Okay? But it is possible that as the society moves, you might find another way to create a just society which is free from theft. So cutting the hands of the thief becomes secondary. It is not the goal. The goal is to create a just and theft-free society. So as our understanding changes, it is possible that you can create a just and theft-free society through other means. At one point of time, cutting off the hand was one possible way. It is not something which is fixed. In contemporary times, we can do it through other ways, through other means. Probably, you know, in societies like Maldives, if somebody commits a theft, you don't cut off his hand. You send him from one island to another. And that is one form of punishment because that person feels lonely. And as a result of that, he tries to rethink his position and a stand. This is what I mean. To equate it with law and to see it as a permanent contradiction is not the correct way. In fact, if you go by one interpretation, then actually Sharia is already part of Australian law. And this might surprise you, but what I mean by this is that the idea of centrelink, okay, which means taking care of the people with less means, it is already an Islamic idea. To follow the traffic law is already an Islamic idea. To promote the goal of fairness and justice, which is very much at least part of the rhetoric of Australian political system, that is already an Islamic. Because from a Sharia perspective, it is also the idea of justice which is ultimately important thing. Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely. Well, Irfan, I do appreciate your time, do appreciate you joining us, having a little bit of a chat with us, because there are these kind of misconceptions floating around that one somehow cancels out the other, that Sharia somehow cancels out our understanding of Australian laws. Do appreciate your time and having a bit of a chat with us about this one.
Yeah,